been talking about the eyes of the Lord. For the last 2 weeks, we've looked at those verses that talk about the eyes of the Lord, and that affirmation last week that we are the apple of His eyes. And I thought, in keeping with those thoughts, that today's lesson we would talk about the ears of the Lord. It's amazing how many times you read these things, you learn about God and about the nature of God. You probably would be amazed as you think about how many times in the Bible we read a description or reference to the ears of the Lord. So I want us, as we to develop this lesson, to begin this lesson by talking about David and the ears of the Lord. You got a Bible? Open up to Psalms 18. In Psalms 18, and seriously, it would really help you if you take your Bible or that pew Bible and open it up to Psalms 18. Because here David says, I will love you, Lord. O Lord, my strength, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my redeemer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I hope the next time that we sing this song, you'll remember this location. Not the chapter and verse location, but the thought of David as he says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. He then says, the pains of death surrounded me. The floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. I cried out to my God. He heard my voice from His temple, and my cry came before Him, and here it is, even to His ears. I wonder if you can identify with that. I wonder if there's ever been that time in your life in which you were just surrounded by sorrows. In fact, the sorrows of Sheol, sometimes that word is translated hell, and while it has reference not to the eternal abode of the wicked, he looks at the unseen world and he says, I'm surrounded. I don't know what I'm going to do. Around me is that distress. Verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord. Every way he looked, there was adversity in his life. And if that's not in your life right now, it'll be there someday. And here's one of those psalms that you need to know about, and you need to at least understand the thought. And this might be one of those psalms that you might want to make a notation of to read this psalm sometime when there's great distress and there's great adversity. Here David is, and you can imagine all that's happened in his life. I mean, he's never had a very pleasant time in his life. You know, as a young man, he becomes famous because he kills Goliath. But no sooner does that happen than he's out fighting all of those battles, and then even the king himself is trying to kill him. Later in his life, his own son leads a rebellion against. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a son so turning against his father, a godly father like David, that he'd try to destroy the man after God's own heart? And David said, I cried out to God, what am I going to do? And I want you to see how God responded. We don't have place to put all of the verses that are found in this chapter on the screen. In fact, that's why I ask that you grab your Bibles and look at Psalms 18. And I want you to think about how God responded. Here's David. And all he did, he just looked up toward heaven and he cried out to God and to the ears of God, in the very ears of God, God heard these things. I want you to know what happened. Poetically, and listen to the imagery and the poetry of this. When I cried out to God, the earth shook and trembled. The foundation of the hills were quaked, the quake were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went out from his nostrils, devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness on his feet. He rode up on a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark clouds and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Almighty uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foe, lightning in abundance. He vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundation of the worlds were uncovered. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from the strong enemies, from those who hated me. Folks, I want you to understand, here's the very nature of our God. We talked last week about we're the apple of his eyes, and here David is, understanding that he is loved by God. And he said, and when I cried out to God, God shook the earth. And God began to open up the channels of the sea, and God delivered me, and God plucked me out of all of these things. Do you understand? That's the nature of the God that you serve. I remember being a teenager. And I remember those trials that came into my life when I was a teenager and I cried out to God. And young people, I want to encourage you to cry out to God. I want you to believe. I want you to understand that those prayers that you pray to God go up to the very ears of God, and God's going to hear those prayers. I remember when, after I was a teenager, I remember those trying times of life. I remember being in college, worried about finances, worried about how we're going to make it, how on earth will we be able to make it. I remember those early years of our life when Judy and I went overseas. And I remember the loneliness that was there in the mission field. And I remembered the birth of our children and looking at them and thinking, how on earth will we ever raise godly children? What do we know about all of this? You cry out to God. And I remember times of sickness and times of adversity, times whenever things look like in that work that was there, how on earth will we ever succeed? And you cry out to God. And throughout all of my life, and you need to ask, young people, you younger people in this congregation, you need to ask some of these older people that are here. You need to ask them, do they believe if God will deliver you? Go to some of these individuals in their 60s and 70s and 80s and ask them about the providence of God, and ask them, have there been those times in your life when you've cried out to God? That's what David is saying. And I don't care what's happening in your life right now. I don't care what adversity there is. There is a lesson that is here for us about the very nature of God that ought to give us comfort unbelievably. I cried out to God, and I wish we had time to just look at every verse in this chapter. David said, when I cried out to God, he just took over and he solved it all. And isn't that his promise to us? Isn't that his promise to us? We know. I wish we did. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. When I was a younger Christian and in the early part of my Christian life, I tried to figure out how on earth God was going to work it out and make it all fit. And I never could figure it out. But he worked it out. And you've got to understand that. Folks, we're not here playing church. We're here in the very presence of the Creator of the world, who whenever we pray, when we cry out to God, our cries go up to Him like the cries of a hurting child in the middle of the night. And the response of that loving parent is the response magnified by a million times the response that comes from heaven when we cry out to the God of heaven and He hears us. Oh, we got to learn that. I wish we had more time to talk about that. Let's change direction just a bit. Let's talk about the fact that the ears of the Lord hear some things that we may not really want Him to hear. As we talk about Israel and the ears of God, those Israelites had been led by Moses, and they came out of the land of Egypt, came down to Mount Sinai and got the law. They went 11 days' journey up into the edge of the promised land, and after they sent the spies out, 40 days later the spies come back. And now they're ready to enter into the promised land. But they don't believe that God will help them do it. Here, the people of God, baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and eating the very manna every day of their life except the Sabbath days, eating that manna that God gives to them and drinking the water that God's provided for them. And God has that pillar of fire and the cloud that leads them. And now they stand ready to enter the promised land, and there's unbelief. Listen to what they said in Numbers chapter 12. All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night because they didn't believe they could enter the promised land. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath God brought us out into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt?" Look again, verse 2. The whole congregation said unto Moses and Aaron. What does that have to do with the ears of God? How on earth could this statement that they made, it's just a conversation between, and it's a heated conversation, a conversation between the Israelites and Moses and Aaron, and they said, I wish that we died in the land of Egypt. I wish we'd died in the wilderness. Would to God that we'd never left the land of Egypt. Would to God that we'd already died out here in this wilderness. Guess what? Look in the latter part of this chapter in verse 28. God says to Moses, "You say to them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, I will do it to you." What they said? They said, "I wish we'd died in the land of Egypt." And they said that not to God, but said it to Moses and Aaron. And the God of heaven heard it. You know the lesson to us? Do you understand the lesson there is for us? That God knows what we're seeing. And so as He says to them in verse 29, "Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all you that were numbered of you according to your whole number, 20 years old and upward, who've murmured against me, you shall not come into this land concerning which I swear to dwell, except for Caleb and Joshua." They're the only two. Did God hear that fuss you had with your wife this week? Did God hear what you said to your husband this week? Is the God of heaven listening to the conversation that you've had about your parents? Is God aware of conversation that you're just having, you know, just with just some other person? Some gossipy kind of tearing down of some other individuals? See, the whole point of this is not a prayer that they prayed up to God. They were talking to Moses and Aaron, and they said, I wish to God, almost in a swearing situation, I wish to God we'd died in the land of Egypt. Would to God that we'd perished in this wilderness. And God said, I heard what you said, and I'm going to respond to what you said. Can I start quoting a verse and see if you can finish it? Not out loud. Every idle word that men speak. If you don't know the rest of that verse, you need to learn it. Every idle word that men speak shall be brought into judgment. And that's what this story illustrates. When we began talking about the ears of the Lord is aware of those idle words that we speak. And here these individuals in a fussing, derogatory way talking to Moses and to Aaron. And the Lord said, I heard what you said. And in this situation, he said, I'm going to listen to your prayer. By the way, just in case you want to memorize that verse and don't know where it's found, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. Verse 37 says, for by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. There's a third way to discuss the matter of the ears of God, and that is the place of prayer and the ears of God. You may recognize this verse from Psalms 34, especially those of you who've been in David's class as he studied 1 Peter last quarter. They're quoted in the New Testament. But Psalms 34, David says, come children, hearken unto me, I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. I'll teach you the respect you need to have of the Lord. What man is he who desires life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And then here's the verse that talks about the ears of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. You know why a child cries in the middle of the night? Because the previous night he cried in the middle of the night and mama came to him. And the night before that. And the night before that. You see, that little baby understands that when I cry, my mama's going to do something about that. Would to God that we had that understanding of our God. Freddie, you're lying there behind that door. A year ago, 18 months ago, with bullet wounds. I don't have to ask you what you're doing. I'd be praying just like you were. Well, see, that incident in your life is just like that little baby crying in the middle of the night and a mama answering. and not just for Eddie, for those of you who sat in hospital rooms and who sat in intensive care rooms, those of you who have been up late at night worrying about your children and things of that nature, you need to understand that God is not unmoved and that His ears are open to your prayers. That doesn't mean He won't let evil men come and treat you wrong. And that doesn't mean that He will not let people have their own free will to do wrong. But you need to understand, there's never a moment when the righteous cry out that God is not aware of them. Put your name in that verse. Austin, put your name in that verse. The eyes of the Lord are over Austin. And His ears are open to His prayers. Dave, put your name in that verse. The eyes of the Lord are over Dave. And His ears are open to their prayers. Seth, put your name in that verse. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears open to their prayers. And I could call every one of you by name. And I wish you'd put that verse, not just sort of write it, put it in your mind, think about it for a moment. I wish you'd write it on your soul. That's what this verse is all about. His ears are open. You want to break that child of crying? Just don't respond. Why does that child not cry, to get his way with a stranger? It doesn't work. But the eyes of God are ever open to your prayers. There were those saints in the first century who had employers. And they were keeping back the wages. You ever been mistreated by a boss? As simple a thing as daily wages. When the saints of God cry out about it, the God of heaven hears it. You've been mistreated in the workplace? You've been mistreated in a business deal? Look at James 5. Come now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last day. What's happened? These rich men had all of these things. And now they're about to lose it. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who have mowed your field, which you have kept back by fraud, cries out. And the cries of the laborers enters into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Hear those early Christians. They get mistreated. And they cry out to God, and God writes it down and says, "You mistreated my child. You mistreated my child," and all you're doing, while you think you're heaping up treasures, you're heaping up the assurance of the judgment of God against you for what you're doing. Child of God, whatever's happening in your life, pray about it, because the ears of the Lord are open to you. You know the story, do you not? Of Hezekiah. That king from the north had come down. Sennacherib was his name. That king from the north had come down and destroyed Samaria and taken captive the 10 northern tribes. And he comes down with a massive army and surrounds the city of Jerusalem. And he has a massive army. And Hezekiah doesn't have any way to defeat him. And so he cries out to the Lord and he says, "O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, you who dwell between the cherubims, you are God, even you alone. Incline your ears," verse 17, Open your eyes, says the Lord. Incline your ear, O Lord. Open your eyes and hear these evil words that Sennacherib has written to me, which have been sent as a reproach to the living God. Lord, the king of Assyria has laid waste all the nations and their countries, and they've cast their gods into the fires for they were no gods, but the works of men's hands. Now therefore, O Lord, verse 20, save us from his hand. He had the letter from Sennacherib. And he went into a private place and he laid out that letter and says, God, would you read this? I'm paraphrasing. God, this is a problem. Would you look at this problem right here? He's defenseless. A massive army from Assyria has come and destroyed the northern kingdom. Almost the majority of the Jews have been taken captivity. And now in one small city in that southern area of Judah, that's all that's left. And he says, God, open your ears to my prayers. Not in the way that Hezekiah could have imagined. But that very night, 183,000 Assyrians were killed without Hezekiah raising the sword. Child of God, lay out that problem before God and say, God, I can't do a thing about this, because his ears are open to you. There's another thing about the ears of God. It has to do with sin. Sometimes we pray and God doesn't hear. And in Isaiah's day, in chapter 59, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. There's the ears of God. But the reason I haven't answered your prayers is because your sin have separated you from God. Every person I know sins. But thank God there are those who, whenever they sin, understand how to say, forgive me my trespasses. But here are some individuals who won't confess their sins. And if they verbally confess their sins, would not change their lives. Folks, you're not going to go to heaven because you someday plan to go there, because you got good intentions about going there. I'm going to stop sinning someday. I'm just not ready to stop right now. You've got to make up your minds. Because if my heart is hardened and my attitude toward the wrong in my life is, it's there, I'll pray to God and he didn't hear me. And Isaiah says to people who had that kind of heart, that wouldn't change their life, wouldn't make that commitment to the Lord, I'm not going to listen to what you're saying. It's not that I'm deaf. The ears of the Lord are not heavy. He hears you. But if you're not trying to live right, then he's not going to hear you. Now that doesn't mean, and don't go too far with this point, that doesn't mean that every unanswered prayer is evidence that sin is in my life. Paul said, I besought the Lord three times, and the Lord never answered the prayer. In Gethsemane, he prayed, let this cup pass from me. Let this cup pass from me. Let this cup pass from me. But he drank of that cup of suffering in spite of that prayer. But the point you and I need to have in our lives is, if we're not committed to the Lord, if we are just playing church, then so much that I've said in this sermon doesn't have a thing on earth to do with us. But if I'm trying to live right, not if I'm sinless, but if I'm trying, the Lord's going to hear me when I pray. And finally, think about your words and your salvation. Matthew 12:36, remember that one? Every idle word that men speak, they'll give an account thereof in the day of... You know, there's an implication that's affirmed in the next verse. Because by your words you'll be justified. And by your words you'll be condemned. Listen to Matthew 10:32. Whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before the Father. Sometimes we think about that verse and we only apply it to the confession that we make before we're baptized. It includes it. But there's far more in Matthew 10:32. And look at the word men being plural in the first place. But there is a profession that we make of our faith as we live for Him and as we speak for Him every day of our lives. Standing up for what we believe. Whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father. Isn't it remarkable that very profession of our faith is a part of that process that makes us to be children of God? Let me ask it this way. Are the ears of the Lord open to you? You know how to open those ears? You know how to have an assurance? You know how to have that assurance that when I cry out to God, He shakes this earth and listens to me and answers my prayers, not in the way sometimes that I have it all figured out, but sometimes in a far better way, and as a result of it, I'm a far better person. You know how to open that door? It begins with faith. John 3:16. Universally says, whoever believes in Him should not perish. But I'll not open the ears of God unless I repent of the wrong that's in my life. God now commands all men everywhere to repent. That's Dan. That's every one of us. Put your name in that verse. God now commands you to repent. Then is that man in Acts chapter 8 who said, here's some water, can I be baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all of your heart, you can. And listen to the confession. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before the Father. Gorman, if I'm not mistaken, it'll soon be 3 years since you were baptized. And before you were baptized, David said to you, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And in some way you said, that's what I believe. Forget about your past life, Gorman, and look to the future. Jesus, the Son of God, says, as a result of you doing that, God's not going to look backwards. He's going to stand before the Father and His angels and say, and I believe with all of my heart that Gorman is one of your children. Now you put your name in that verse. Don't you want that to happen? Whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father. And Romans 10:9 says, if you do this, you'll be saved. And then you need to be immersed in water. Baptized into Christ. We are children of God by faith because, Galatians 3:26-27, because we have been baptized into Christ. We are children of God by faith because we have been baptized into Christ. And when you do that, you become a child of God and you can say, my Father who's in heaven, because you're now his child. Added to his kingdom, to the body, to the church. And then you can pray, and God will shake the earth with fire coming out of his nostrils because of the prayer that you prayed. And then he just says, now don't give up. Revelation 2:10, you be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. This song of invitation talks about us singing together about what's happening in our hearts. We are praying and pleading, even as we sing this song, for those who need to respond right now. Are we praying for you? If so, then come right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?